you so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service, and include any information that you would like us to have with regard to keeping you up to date on what's happening weekly in the life of this congregation. Inside your bulletin this morning, there's a calendar of announcements, and we hope that you will take note of the things that are happening in the life of this church. And included in there is an insert of the Rhode Island Organizing Project events that are coming up in August, of which there are several. And we would love to have a wide participation by members of our congregation as we come together in support and advocacy for senior issues in this state. Our summer barbecues are continuing on Tuesday night. On Tuesday night, Jenny Surgner and Milton Liu will be co-hosting the barbecue, and we are still looking for more co-hosts to help, and what that entails is clearly listed and defined on the handout that's on the bulletin board in the Hope Room, and we'd love to have some more people participate in helping to make that happen. And please come to the barbecue. They've been wonderfully successful. We've had wonderful nights. There's a great breeze on Tuesday night in the up here on the hill, no matter what the rest of the day has brought, and you don't have to think about dinner very much on Tuesday night if you come to the barbecue, unless you're the host. Next Sunday after worship, there will be a housing rights issues presentation. Information about the bulletin is in the bulletin about that, specifically related to housing issues and discrimination issues around for gays and lesbians. But it's more widely the more wider sense of what housing issue discrimination and the laws are about will also be presented. So that's next Sunday here downstairs at the church. Are there other announcements this morning? I believe after worship at 11:30, the youth will be playing either soccer or frisbee, depending on what the group decides. If you have questions, see Kevin and Hilda, right? Kevin and Hilda, great. Let us prepare then to worship God. Please join with me in the responsive call to worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Make known the Lord's deeds among the peoples. Sing to the Lord, sing praises to the Lord. Tell of all the Lord's wonderful works. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord's presence continually. Remember the wonderful works the Lord has done. We come to thank the Lord and worship. Praise the Lord. Let us sing together. Into a peace which passes all understanding, we are drawn by God through the forgiveness of Christ who forgives our sin. With hearts open to God's love, then, let us come in a spirit of confession, first in silence, then confessing together. Continuing in prayer. Gracious God, we confess that we separate ourselves from your unconditional love. We are not willing to accept its magnificence, its freedom, and its responsibility. Instead, we fill ourselves with details of life and fears of death, worries about things present, and confusion about things to come. Forgive us, God. And find us in the midst of our busy lives. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together verse 4 of our Song of Confession, Lord Jesus, think on me.
Jesus,
God so loved the world that God gave his only Son, not that the world would be condemned, but that it might be saved through him. Let us give thanks and live into that reality. Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah. It is time to share our joys and concerns. Are there any that anybody would like to share?
Bear with me for a second. My stepmother passed away yesterday morning, Carol Marburger, so if everybody could just keep my father in your prayers, I'd really appreciate it. It's been very difficult for him as he just lost his father 2 weeks ago. So it's a tough couple of weeks for my family. I'll be traveling this week, not sure when exactly, but probably Tuesday for the services. So keep me and my family in your prayers. Thank you.
I have a joy. It's 5 years yesterday since my beloved husband John Blake died. And it was a relief for both of us that his wings were ready and he flew away and he's at peace, I know. And the other is, I am so grateful to be part of this church family. The phone calls, the cards, the concern during the time that I've been out following my surgery and a bug or two that sneaked in at the same time. It's just really so heart and soul warming to be part of this, and I thank you all.
I'm asking for prayers for my son, Zachary, who will be sitting for New York Bar Exam on Tuesday and Wednesday. So prayers for him for success on that. And then I will be traveling on the weekend to Michigan, so traveling mercies.
Thanks for all your prayers for my family. So Keith got home late last night and had a good week at this conference for refugee resettlement in Phoenix. And our daughter Julia got home late last night from a great month volunteering at a Young Life camp. And I think I passed my exam. It'll be a while to see, but thanks for praying for that too. I think it went okay.
We have a huge joy this morning. We welcome Sylvia Rose Baca into our family on July 9th, and we brought her to church this morning, so I'm excited for everyone to meet her. Thank you all for your prayers and concern when we were in the hospital with her and for your continued prayers for our move. We felt so just crazy loved by the whole church over these last few weeks, and I just want to thank you all so much. So, amen.
I have a joy and not really a concern, but just asking for prayers. I'm blessed to have my parents here to help us out as we are also moving this week on Tuesday, and asking just for prayers with our family as we handle logistics of all of that with the kids around. Thanks.
My brother's going camping today.
All right. And he's going to Boy Scout camp for the week.
Asking for prayers for Malika and Andrew as their wedding day gets closer. Just in 3 weeks.
We're thrilled today to have Ogden baptized and to have my brother David with us and Art's parents. Prayers for our move, which is starting tomorrow morning, and that we can find another great church community like this down in Florida.
I told you there were lots of moves in the air. Let us pray. God of life and love, hope and promise, into this world you came to save us from ourselves, to redeem your creation. We pray for a world in tumult, in our own personal lives and well beyond our borders, for all the people of this world are yours. Give us sight to behold with vision the needs around us and to respond as you can enable us beyond our humble abilities. We pray for peace and justice to rule in your world, particularly this day for Iraq and the Middle East. Soften hearts and enlarge vision that violence may cease, that ways forward may be found. In our cities, O Lord, bring hope out of hopelessness and patterns of violence. We pray for the safety and good decisions of your people, near and far, and we pray protection for Christine and Lamar. We pray for far too many who grieve in these days. You, O God, can reach where no human spirit can touch, and yet you call us, too, to reach out a caring hand. We pray for Lori and her father in the loss of her stepmother, Carol, yesterday. Strengthen them in these days ahead as too soon they gather again as family to put her to rest. We give thanks, O God, that you are a God of healing in the midst of grief, and we thank you for the strength and accompaniment that you've offered to CJ as she passes this fifth anniversary of John's death. We pray for the many in our congregation who are in transitions of many kinds in the life of their lives, for the uncertainties and possibilities they bring, for the energy to follow through where you will lead, for all those we have heard this day. We pray for the Paddens, for the Vacas, for the Bays, for the Johnsons, for the Reyes family. We thank you for the support of a community that strengthens them in times of move and pray that you would continue to move us to help as we are able. We pray for Zachary this week as he approaches the bar exam and for new opportunities before him. We give thanks, O God, for the celebration and joys of our lives, for the support of families and church gathered together this day as we celebrate the baptism of Ogden, as we send them forth into new horizons and new churches. We give thanks, O God, for the comings and goings of this summer, and we pray your mercy and recreation for Jonick and Andrew as they travel, for Yuluma in her travel this week. We give thanks for Keith and Julia's safe returns home and for this time of the exam passed and hopefully passed. We give thanks, O God, for the safe and healing arrival of Sylvie here with us this morning and for the ways in which you are strengthening that family in these days. We give thanks for new opportunities to love and serve and be in community with one another, for Andy as he goes forth to Boy Scout camp, for Malika and Andrew as they prepare for their wedding in 3 weeks, for Andrew and Sarah as they prepare for a wedding in 2 weeks. We pray, O Lord, your healing hand upon those who need it, those named and unnamed. We pray for Carmen. We pray for my parents. We pray for Sally, and we pray it upon all who are at the end of their lives, for Walter this day, and Judy as she walks alongside. In life and in death, O God, we belong to you. Help us to give thanks in all times and circumstances as we pray for the work and ministry of this congregation, itself in transition as you are leading forth new leadership to our midst. We pray these things through the power of our Lord, who teaches us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's see. We would invite forward the Johnson family for baptism this morning. And any children that are in the congregation that would like to come forward for a front row seat on that.
Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and sure of his presence with us, we baptize those whom he has called to be his own. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to forgive our sins and has joined us together in the family of faith, which is his church. He has delivered us from darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to be our Father and to welcome us as brothers and sisters in Christ. Know that the promises of God are for you. By baptism, God puts his sign on you to show that you belong to him and gives you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that sharing Christ's reconciling work, you will also share his victory, that dying with Christ to sin, you will be raised with him to new life.
Arden Elena, in presenting Ogden for baptism, you announce your own faith in Jesus Christ and show that you want him to study Jesus, to know him, to love him, and to serve him as a chosen disciple, wherever your journeys may lead you. Show your purpose by answering these questions. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Do you trust in him?
Do you intend Ogden to be his disciple, to obey his word, and to show his love?
David, do you, the godparent of Ogden, promise your love, support, and encouragement to faith in Jesus Christ as you walk with these parents to nurture his faith?
And to the congregation, our Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to teach those who are baptized. Do you, the people of the church, promise to tell this new disciple, Ogden, the good news of the gospel to help him to know all that Christ commands, and by your fellowship to strengthen his family ties with the household of God? If so, answer, we do.
We do. Let us pray. God of grace, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the hope that we have in your Son, Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us with your Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose. Amen. What is the Christian name of your son? Ogden Roman Johnson. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. See the love that God has brought to you, that we may be called children of God, and so we are. Ogden, you are now received into the Universal Church of Jesus Christ. We love you. We send you forth as we baptized Marcella several years ago. We send you forth with our love, with grace, with peace, with the blessing of this congregation as you head on to Florida. We who have made these promises tonight make these promises on behalf of all of our children, that even though you only have today during coffee hour to share the message of Jesus Christ with Ogden, you share it every day, every week with the children of this church. This is one of your newest friends in the faith, Ogden, yes. And we share it all the time. We share it forth day by day, moment by moment, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us give thanks that we have this opportunity, this blessed trust, this time that we have to share with one another, however brief, however long, with the children of our church.
Let us join together in singing, Jesus Loves Me.
There he is. You know the words.
Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, in your infinite mercy and goodness, you promised that you will not only be our God, but also the God and parent of our children. We humbly pray for your child, Ogden, that your spirit may be upon him and dwell in him forever. Take him, we pray, under your care and protection. Guide him and bless him in body and soul. Grant him to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with all people. Abundantly enrich him with your heavenly grace. Bring him safely through the perils of childhood. Deliver him from the temptations of youth. And lead him to witness a good confession and to persevere unto the end. O God, our Creator, give unto your servants Art and Elena, to whom you have given this blessed trust, the assurance of your unfailing providence and care, particularly in these days of transition. Guide them with your counsel as they teach and train Ogden and Marcello wherever the journeys lead. Help them to lead their household into an ever-increasing knowledge of Christ and a more steadfast obedience to his will. We commend to your godly care all the children and families of this congregation. Help us in all of our homes to honor you and by our love to serve one another and our neighbor. And to your name be all blessing and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Welcome to the love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the community of all believers throughout our world. Children are excused to go down to childcare with Kevin and Hilda this morning, ages 3 through 3rd grade.
Sorry. Okay. Let us bow our heads for the prayer of illumination. Lord, you are the light of the world, and we long to follow you. Please, as we listen to your word, open our hearts and our minds to hear the many different ways that you're calling us in our lives to share your love, your peace, and your joy with the world. In your name we pray. Amen. Our first reading this morning is from the Old Testament, from Genesis chapter 29, verses 15 through 28. found in your pew Bible on page 25 and on the large print Bible on page 32. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were lovely, and Rachel was graceful and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to any other man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife that I may go into her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went in to her. Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her maid. When morning came, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban said, "This is not done in our country, giving the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife. The New Testament lesson for this week is Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, found in your pew Bible on page 148. And in the large print Bible on page 192. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered." No, and all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of God.
Be to God. grew up in Eastern Kentucky. It was really important for people to know who your people were. They wanted to know who all your relations were, and that way they knew whether you belonged or not. That name and those relationships were so important, I was amazed that they ran political campaigns on who the relatives were. You'd pick up the newspaper and the whole ad campaign was son of so-and-so, nephew of so-and-so, brother of so-and-so, and it would go on that long in the newspaper to establish his credentials. He belonged in Eastern Kentucky. His roots were deep. And that, of course, meant he was qualified for the job, whatever it might have been. So there is this thing about belonging. And yet, even in the Midwest, where I have lived most of my life, there was still that same sort of sense of, who are you related to? And if you somehow were related to somebody nearby, it sure made your path a lot easier. And I don't know how many times I sat through these long conversations of who was related to whom, by whom, how, and all this other sort of thing that was so important to these people. To whom are you related? Who are your people? And heaven help you if you came from the East. You'd never fit in there. You were just of a different culture. That was it. So anyway, this whole idea of belonging was important. And in these churches where I was, there were like four generations of the same family in the congregation. I never had four generations of my family living in the same state, or sometimes even the same country. So as I moved around from place to place, it was always, who are your people? And mine didn't live there. And so I never really belonged in the way that these people in the Midwest thought about it. And that was true in the church. There was this sense of we're a very close-knit family, because really we are. We really are family, you know. And so I was most at home in those city churches where there were many, many members, many of whom had moved around as much as I had, if not more. And the few locals were the minority in the congregation. So they really couldn't lord it over us that did not belong in that particular community. And so those of us who gathered together in those congregations belonged because we shared the same faith, we shared the same Lord, we shared the same desire to love and serve that very same Lord. And in the reading from last week in Romans, I think it's very appropriate for today, so I'm going to remind us of it. Can't see it today. My eyes are not focusing. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not fall into the spirit of slavery, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. On the morning when we baptize is probably the most important message that we'll ever find in the Bible. We are, each and every one of us, children of God. And that's where we belong. And who God chooses to be a part of God's family makes absolutely no sense. God chooses before, well, maybe even while it's still an embryo. I don't know. God chooses before there's any consciousness of life. God chooses before a child, an embryo, or anybody can go, oh yeah, I know you, God, and I can try to please you. No. God chooses as God chooses. And if we look at today's story from Jacob, we're reminded of Jacob being such a crazy, messed up man, and God kept pursuing this idiot. He was fighting his brother even in the womb. Those of you who have been pregnant, imagine all those legs and elbows knocking around in there. So he was a problem child before he was ever born. And he was trying to run away from his whole life, and God still pursued him. And in today's reading, we might say, oh yeah, what goes around comes around. You finally got yours. Because Laban cheated him out of his first choice wife and gave him Leah instead. There's a temptation to say, no, that serves you right. Except as we read the story, we realize poor Leah is a victim here. And what happens in this story is about Laban getting what Laban wants. Yeah, he worked for 14 years, but Laban still got what Laban wanted, irregardless of what poor Leah felt in this whole situation. And yet, God is still faithful to Jacob. It reminds me of when you walk through the woods, you that have hiked know this phenomenon. They're called sticktites. They're these long, little, stringy things, about half moons, that are stuck together. They're little green, sticky things. And when you come out of the tall grass or out of the woods, they're stuck on your socks, they're stuck on your pants, they're stuck on your sweater, they're stuck in your hair, they're stuck everywhere. And you start trying to peel them off, and you think you have them all off, and then you find another one under your arm somewhere or on your back. You go inside, and somebody says, oh, you have one of those things stuck here. Stick tight. You can't get rid of them. And you know what? We can't get rid of God either. Because God is faithful to his or her adopted children. God is that parent that no matter what we do, goes on loving. And if we are adopted, then God's adoption papers take priority over even the parental rights of birth parents or other adoptive parents. God is the parent of all. And Ogden and Marcelo and all of these other wonderful children who have been baptized could grow up to be bratty kids. They will certainly try their parents' patience at least once or twice in their lifetimes. And these parents will go right on loving them, no matter what. And all of you who are parents know that experience. You go on loving them, no matter what. And if we, fallible, weak, human beings will keep loving these messed up kids no matter what, then what in the world is God capable of? God is capable of phenomenal love that we cannot even conceive. And if being adopted isn't enough for us, Paul goes on to write, we know all things work together for good for those who love God. God will be with us. And what can separate us from the love of God? And Paul goes on at great length to say, not life. Well, of course not life. How can life? Well, just think about all of the complications of our lives and when we are tempted to turn away from God, just like Jacob. But all those things that pile up and make us want to say, okay, God, forget it. God is still going to be there. Even when we try to erect barriers and say, I've had it, God, I don't want any more of this. Not death. As people walk or live their way towards the end of their lives, some of them even seem to get closer to God during that time. And they know a great, wonderful peace because they know that nothing will separate them from the love of God. Not even death. Neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present nor not even things to come, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we each, as we witness a baptism, are reminded of our own baptisms. We are each reminded, whether we've been baptized or not, that God has chosen to adopt us as God's children. And we can each say with confidence, I am God's child. I am beloved. And God will stick tight, no matter what. Let us pray. God, thank you that we cannot get rid of you, that you will hold tight to us and love us no matter what, and always call us beloved child of God. Amen.
Please stand with me now as we read our affirmation of faith. In everlasting love, the God of Abraham and Sarah chose a covenant people to bless all the families of the earth. Hearing their cry, God delivered us, children of Israel, from the house of bondage. Loving us still, God makes us heirs with Christ of the covenant. Like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child, like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home, God is faithful still. I now welcome Gina Bay to come up. She's going to do a moment for mission for us.
Good morning. I am coming to you as chair of the PNC. I know many of you are probably very anxious to hear what we've been up to. We haven't been taking a vacation, if that's what you all think. We have been meeting through the summer. We met in June. We've met twice in July. We have been receiving and starting the narrowing down process, and we've even begun the interviewing process. So we are that much closer to hopefully calling a new co-pastor very soon. We would covet your prayers. There's a lot of very interesting candidates out there. Makes our decision very hard. So we would really love your prayers for wisdom and discernment in this process, and that God will lead us to the right person. But hang in there with us for a little bit longer, but we are getting very close, so thank you.
Now is the time when we gather and give back to the Lord through our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the many ways that you bless our lives and the many gifts that you give to us. We pray that you bless these gifts so that we can continue to go forth and to spread your love and peace and joy with the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
You are each a beloved child of God. Hold that in your heart and never forget it. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Alleluia. Amen.